author, music teacher, and mother of the truly exceptional Sebastian. Stephanie Dusing's brand new memoir is entitled Eyeless Mind, published by Atmosphere Press. Stephanie joins me by telephone to talk not only about her book, but to share some ideas for parents who have become homeschoolers in both academics and the arts. Welcome, Stephanie.
Hi, thank you so much.
Will you first introduce us to your son, Sebastian?
Yeah, my son Sebastian was born almost completely blind, and music and movement helped him to achieve normal developmental milestones. And so we actually didn't even know he was blind until he was 15. He is currently a student at the School of the Art Institute in Chicago, where he got the Presidential Award and Scholarship. He draws and paints with photographic realism when he wants to, and he's almost completely blind. He's also a 3D artist as well. He does ceramics, large-scale sculpture. He creates and binds his own books. And is just generally a maker in every way that you could be.
What prompted you to write his story?
We discovered that Sebastian was almost completely blind when he was 15 years old, which, as you can imagine, was really a shock. We were going through old photos, and he couldn't recognize himself or anybody else in any of the pictures. And he draws and paints faces with photographic realism, was a straight-A honor student. He was on the water polo team. He skipped a grade because he finished the fourth grade math book first quarter of third grade. We had no idea that he had any disability or anything of any kind. And so that led us on a wild journey, $150,000 in medical bills, trying to get a diagnosis for a blind child who has always, all his life, appeared to be typically sighted. Sebastian is the only person in the world known to process his vision verbally, which means that he actually sees with words in the same way that a bat sees with sound. My characteristics are tall blonde glasses, and when he thinks those words to himself, he literally gets a glimpse of what I look like. So we realized, of course, that he was processing his vision verbally, and we figured that out at home, and I realized that was a major scientific discovery that needed to be shared. And after being horribly verbally and emotionally abused by doctors. We had horrific malpractice trying to get a diagnosis for him because he had all normal developmental milestones and was a straight-A honor student, and it just couldn't seem possible that a kid who passed every vision test every year could be blind. But he was, and I was right. So I wrote the book because I realized if Sebastian could read and yet be blind, that there were other people out there who could read and were blind. It wasn't just him, and I was right. We actually discovered that while Sebastian's verbal visual processing is unique, his actual condition is common and doesn't have a diagnosis. And there are actually tens of thousands of people right here in the U.S. who have cerebral/cortical visual impairment, and there's only a handful of doctors in the entire world who understand what it is, how to diagnose it. It's a true public health crisis. There's only one university training program in the United States that even requires the teachers of the visually impaired to take coursework in CVI, and that's UMass in Boston. My son had all normal developmental milestones because he had music and movement from birth just by accident of having a music teacher for a mother. There are more than 20 years of research demonstrating that music and movement in early childhood have tremendous neurological benefits.
And I think that's something, you know, we hear all the time that kids who study music do better in math and science. And all of a sudden comes the coronavirus. And here is Stephanie with 15 years worth of experience to prove that. So now you're sharing some of the techniques and things that you used in your own family with parents. So talk about some ideas that you have for parents trying, you know, people say, I'm not musical, I can't sing or play an instrument. How do they help their kids at home with music and other arts?
Oh, yes, of course. Well, first of all, let me assure that every parent of a small child, your child loves you. They find the sound of your voice to be calming. There is nothing more calming to a small child than your touch, your voice, your scent. And so there is actually nothing better for your child than your own voice. Even if you think you're only shower worthy to sing, your child thinks you're Pavarotti. So you need to be singing to your child from birth and moving with them. And this is not just for people who think their children might have developmental delays. This is for every family. Music and movement is crucial for normal human development. Every culture in the world has music and movement because of that reason. And so what parents need to do is they need to share and repeat simple songs. All those classic early childhood songs are really important for small children. They need simple songs. They need to hear them over and over. And it's really wonderful when songs like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, they have movement to go with them. Children actually acquire language through movement. And so as they do the movements to the song, they learn what the words mean. So, for example, when you're singing about jumping while you jump, when you tie the action to the word, the child learns what the word jumping means by doing it. And so it's really wonderful for language acquisition. Another thing that parents can do is to pair songs, as I said, with movement in a variety of ways. So you can twirl from right to left. You can actually make up your own song. You don't have to be anything special. And you can just twirl from side to side. You can rock and sway. You can march around your house. During quarantine, it's great to have some physical activity for the entire family, and you can just pair those actions to movements. You can roll on the floor. You can rock your child. All of those things have wonderful neurological benefits.
And rhythm, too, rhythm development.
They do, and that's because music is actually the only activity that stimulates the auditory, the visual, and the motor cortices of the brain at the same time, and it forces both sides of the brain to work together through the connecting part in the center called the corpus callosum. There is nothing else that does it the way that music does. And so when you stimulate all those parts of the brain at the same time, that creates additional neurological connections that people who aren't musical don't have. So musicians' brains, they've known for actually 20 years, their brains are actually different and have more and better connections than people who are not musicians. And so you are actually developing your child's brain while you do music with them. If you do nursery rhymes and bounce your child on your knee, that is actually stimulating the frontal lobe of their brain, which is where all higher order thinking takes place. Another great thing to do with children is to take dance breaks. This is good for adults, too. Throughout the day, take a dance break. And it doesn't have to be fancy moves. There's no choreography needed. You don't have to be, you know, a trained ballerina. You just have to get up and move. Simple movements of any kind that you want. But a variety of movements is important. Mm-hmm. Twirling in both directions, bouncing, skipping, jumping, swaying from side to side. Children need to experience all of those different types of movements throughout the day.
I have two grown children now who both learned the rap of the states when they were in elementary school. To this day, they can tell you any capital of any state in the union because it was taught with clapping and rhythm. And it just sticks with you forever. One of the resources here in Cincinnati, our sister station is a classical station, and we have a program called Classics for Kids. Do you have any other resources where you could direct parents to help with children during this lockdown time?
Oh, absolutely. There are just a number of different early childhood music and movement programs, and many of them are wonderful, and there are many wonderful teachers. You could check out Music Garden. I am actually a former Music Garden teacher. They are specifically a music and movement program, not simply music. And that's important because music and movement, when you combine those two things together, it has the most powerful neurological benefits.
And my guest is Stephanie Dusing. She's here sharing ideas for music education in lockdown, also talking about the book Isla's Mind. The new book Isla's Mind has been described as an amazing story that leaves the reader both inspired and intrigued. A must-read and an epic love letter to the significance of music and art education for children. And above all, Isla's Mind is a story about love, forgiveness, and redemption. The book is out now on Atmosphere Press. Author, music educator, and mother Stephanie Dusing has been my guest. For a link to her website and the other resources Stephanie and I talked about, visit our website, wvxu.org. Thank you so much for your time today, Stephanie.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed being here.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Elaine Deal.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how